All right. Good morning, Confidential Computing. I'm going to talk about memory isolation in Texas Instruments microcontrollers. And I imagine that at this point, the audience is kind of divided in half, where half of you are thinking, wait, there's confidential computing in Texas Instruments? And the other half is thinking, why would you need confidential computing for a calculator? But as it turns out, Texas Instruments is more than just a calculator company. They actually have a very rich history as kind of a computing company. So they were the first company to manufacture a silicon transistor. And 4 years later, they were also the inventors of the integrated circuit. And so they not only produce calculators, but also other systems where sometimes I think maybe having some kind of security for this type of stuff is not the worst idea in the world. So I don't know if you see it from the back, but they also develop laser guidance systems for precision guided munitions, so ballistic missiles. So let's talk about what type of security they have. I'm not going to go too deep into the details, but it's kind of different than this kind of confidential VM infrastructure that we've seen in the previous talks as well. So I will explain it a little bit. This is what we saw in the previous talks. So this is kind of the traditional high-end desktop or server environment where you have actually many different ways of isolating code and data. You can have processes that are running in parallel. You can have in-process enclaves. You can have confidential VMs. And all of these rely on the hardware to provide some kind of isolation between these different entities within the computer. And this is implemented through things like virtual memory, virtualization, privileged rings, and so on. But in this case, the device that I'm going to talk about is this MSP430 microcontroller. And this has none of this. It's actually a long line of microcontrollers, but the specific device that I'm going to talk about was released in 2014. At the time when it was released, I think it was actually the lowest power microcontroller in the entire world, but it still has some security features. As an example, it has AEX acceleration, it has a memory protection unit, and it also has this intellectual property encapsulation feature that I'm going to focus on in this talk, IPE for short. And so the way this works is that you don't have virtual memory, you don't have virtualization, any of these things on this device. It's a flat unified address space. All the code and data on the device shares this one physical address range. And what IPE allows you to do is you can write two addresses to two registers, and this will mark one area of memory that is going to be the protected area. And you can put code and data in here. It's a von Neumann architecture, so it's mixed code and data. So here you can put your intellectual properties such as proprietary code or secret data such as encryption keys or nuclear launch codes, whatever you use this device for. And then what IPE actually enforces is that if you run code from inside this enclave, you can access and manipulate the data that's also inside. But if you have code running anywhere outside this address range, then it basically cannot access anything inside the enclave. And this is not only enforced for code, but also for JTAG debuggers and direct memory access. So it's kind of a program counter-based access control. So in certain ways, it's a bit similar to Intel SGX or other similar DEs. But how secure is it? So now I kind of explained how it's supposed to work. But we performed an in-depth security analysis into this device. And we found that, unfortunately, it doesn't work that well. Again, I'm not going to go into the details. Basically, what we did is we looked at a lot of prior literature in trying to attack confidential computing architectures. And we try to recreate some of these attacks, see which ones apply, see which ones are successful on this device. And all the ones that are highlighted, so almost all of the rows in the table, we could recreate on this device. So we could have both architectural and microarchitectural side-channel attacks successfully executed on this device. And the security guarantees are basically completely broken as a result. And important to note that these are all software-based attacks. So even if you don't necessarily have physical access to the device, it might still be possible to take over it.